the insomnia really became its own issue in 2018, the fall of 2018, 2019. I'd moved across the country. I liked my new life. I liked where I was living, but I could not sleep. For me, insomnia and anxiety are, they're two sides of the same coin. And so being able to let go, relearn, retrain about sleep and insomnia has also meant for me relearning and retraining about anxiety. To anybody who's listening, hang in there because it does not last forever. It really does not last forever.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to yet another really special Talk Insomnia episode. We have Dina with us. Welcome.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
Super nice having you. And for those of you who don't know, which is everyone out there, Dina, you're actually my client in Bedtime in our app. And it was really nice working with you. And I asked you to be a guest. So I'm grateful that you're here. But with that said, tell us in your words, how did you start having trouble sleeping?
I was always a problem-free sleeper my whole life. I could nap anywhere. I could sleep in the car. I could sleep on planes. I never thought about sleep until I was going through a divorce. And the emotional tension of that situation just really impacted my sleep. And it also coincided for me with the onset of menopause. So for me, it was hard to tease apart, like, is this anxiety due to menopause or is this anxiety due to not sleeping? It was all rolled up in one big sleepless ball.
Yeah. And when more or less was this?
This was probably about 9 or 10 years ago.
Oh, it was a while ago.
Yeah, it was a while ago. Yeah.
I see.
Yeah. And since then, I've gone through phases of sleeping fine and then not sleeping and sleeping fine and not sleeping. So it's been an ongoing struggle. And I never really knew what was, if there was something triggering it or if it was something I did, because it just seemed to come out of thin air.
I hear. And if we go back to that initial period, you were going through divorce, menopause, which naturally can create some trouble sleeping for anyone. But did that turn into a really intense struggle with insomnia or not?
Actually, well, it was a pretty bad struggle with insomnia at the time because I was only sleeping. I mean, I thought I was only sleeping a couple of hours a night. And I had a lot of other psychological symptoms, like I wasn't eating well and had a lot of brain fog and fatigue. And again, I couldn't really tease apart what it was. But at that time, going through a pretty bad divorce and having a child in the mix, losing sleep was a concern, but it wasn't my biggest concern. It was just kind of part of the package of difficult things that I was experiencing. The insomnia, so that would have been like 2014, let's say. And the insomnia really became its own issue. In 2018, the fall of 2018, 2019, I'd moved across the country. I liked my new life. I liked where I was living, but I could not sleep. That's the period, 2018, 2019. That's the period that I refer to as when I was dying of insomnia.
Yeah, wow. No, thanks for sharing this. And was it brought on the initial like sleep disruption that so often leads into insomnia? Was it brought on by the move or what do you think it started? Or you don't know?
I don't know. When I first moved to Arizona, my son and I were staying with my mom and that affected my sleep, but I figured I wouldn't sleep as well until I was in my own place. And then once I was in my own place, I slept fine for several months. I don't know if there was a precipitating event or what it was. And believe me, I looked.
Yeah. You can imagine.
Yeah. And I was just starting to get over a hump. And then I had an unexpected death in the family that just put me right back to square one.
I hear. And just a quick little pause here for our audience there. So they know that what you and I know so well, Dina, is that anyone who goes through sort of a stressful time can have sleep disruption. We don't sleep so well. But insomnia starts to happen when our brains start to think that the lack of sleep is like a threat, a danger, like there's no other problem, actually. The problem, it becomes a self-sustaining, ongoing struggle. And that's what started to happen there in 2018 for you, right?
Absolutely. And that, during that time, I was also extremely anxious. I had anxiety attacks, panic attacks. I knew what they were. Even if you know what's going on, it still feels like you're going to die. You know, it feels like you're going to have a heart attack. It's a terrible feeling. And so I was anxious all day and then not sleeping all night. But I remember telling people, the weird thing is I'm not anxious about anything. Like, my life is fine. My kid's doing well. I'm in good health. I'm close to my family. I've got great friends. I love my work. And so, I mean, I must have said that 1,000 times during that period. I'm not anxious about anything. I would tell people I'm anxious, I'm not sleeping. And they would say, oh, what's wrong? And I would say, I'm anxious and I'm not sleeping. There was no, unlike years earlier during my divorce, there was no external discomfort or difficulty that I could see that was causing my sleeplessness or my anxiety.
Yeah. Oh, very well said. And at this point, did you start what so many people do, experiment with things to try to make yourself sleep?
Yeah, I always laugh when if I mention not sleeping and someone says, have you tried lavender? And I'm like, please, I'm a PhD in not sleeping. So it's just, yes, I tried everything. Now, in 2014, when I wasn't sleeping, and I just saw my primary care physician, and he put me on something called trazodone, which I hated. I hated it from day one. It made me dry. It glued my eyes shut. It affected my appetite, which was already suffering. So I was on that for about 6 weeks and hated it and stopped taking it. Didn't really improve my sleep. It made me pass out. It didn't really help me sleep. So I knew I didn't want to go that route again. I knew for me personally, sleeping pills and tranquilizers and anti-anxiety meds, I don't respond well to those. And so I did. I tried room sprays and melatonin, and I saw a naturopath and got a vitamin schedule worked out. I think that benefited me, but I don't think it affected my sleep.
I'm
glad that I did things to take care of myself. I tried various exercise things. I tried a regimen of going outside at dusk. I mean, I could go on and on. And of course, anybody you mention it to has a suggestion. Oh, have you tried medical marijuana? Oh, have you tried just like a shot of Jack Daniels right at bedtime? That does it for me.
Totally here. And at this point, how are you functioning during the day? Is it impacting your day a lot or not so much?
It was absolutely impacting my day and impacting my relationships. I felt crazy. And my kind of internal narrative is that my brain was broken. And I'm self-employed. and that's fortunate because it gave me some flexibility. I can't imagine if I had to show up at a hotel front desk at 8 a.m. I don't know how I would have functioned. So it was pretty much all I could do to get my kid up and off to school. I could teach my classes. I could meet with my clients, but I knew I was not my best. And I felt foggy, but I think the worst effect on my daily life was just this intense anxiety all the time.
Wow. Again, thanks for sharing this part. And so we can tell that this year was really difficult, really intense. But somehow it sounds like at 2019, somehow things got easier, or?
Yeah, it resolved itself. I think part of what helped in my case, I mean, who the heck knows what helped? I can't tell you what helped. I can tell you what coincided. So what coincided is, In March of 2019, I had a conference out of town. I traveled. I was staying with friends. I was really freaked out about what sleeping at my friend's house was going to be like. Am I going to be up? I'm going to keep them up. You know, I was really worried about it. And it was okay. I didn't sleep great, but nobody else was bothered. And I was able to go do my conference, give a great talk, engage with people. And having that really meaningful stuff coincided with me not noticing the sleeping as much. I just had other things that I was thinking about. I even took banjo lessons to try to give my brain something else to think about. I tried hypnosis. But when I started to notice an improvement was when I was, I can't believe I'm going to use this phrase because they gave my first sleep coach hat for using this phrase. I was out living my values. I was out doing the things that are meaningful to me in the world. And that's what coincided with loosening up about my sleep.
Yeah, absolutely. And just, you've already said it so nicely, but just again, for our audience to double down on this helpful message is that when for 1 year, imagine our brain has been thinking that not sleeping, this is big threat, danger, something really has to deal with. And taking banjo lessons as an attempt to distract it, it doesn't really work when we do that with that intent. But then when you're like, I'm going to go to this conference, taking that the leap of some courage, sleeping in other places, now you're truly shifting attention, not with the intent of shifting attention to sleep better, but you're just living your life, doing what is meaningful to you. And our brain goes, oh, maybe there's other things that we can focus on. We don't have to completely be immersed in this inner struggle. Things happen a little easier. But at that point, I'm guessing it wasn't clear to you what was going on. You just started finding things getting easier.
I just stopped thinking about sleeping. It wasn't deliberate. It was just the net result of being engaged with and thinking about other things.
Yeah.
And one of the things that really showed me is that travel and meeting up with old friends is something that I really value a lot. It's something that's really important to me. And so, yeah, I couldn't ever pinpoint, oh, it was on March 31st that I started sleeping better. I have no idea. All I know is the beginning of 2019, I was dying of insomnia. And by the middle of 2019, I was fine.
I see. Were you fine as in it was pretty much not on the radar, or it was in the background a little bit?
No, I really don't remember thinking. I traveled a lot in 2019 and I don't remember thinking about or fearing the sleep thing at all. Yeah. It was just lifted, just gone. And even as we moved into the year of COVID, right, which I know was miserable in so many ways for so many people, but I slept great.
I'm happy. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah. And it wasn't until earlier this year, 2023, that my sleep started going awry again. I don't even want to say it that way. I don't think my sleep was any different. It wasn't until something this year made me start worrying about sleep again. And it was bad this past summer. I went to see a friend in Myrtle Beach and I slept like a rock, and I'd sleep until 10 o'clock in the morning. I just slept great. And of course, I would say to her, I'm sleeping, this is so lovely, I'm sleeping like a baby. And everybody would say, oh, it's because you're on vacation. Oh, it's the salt air.
Right.
Oh, it's all the wine. Oh, it's, and it, if I did this, if I tried those same things at home, I wouldn't have, I don't know that there would have been any
outcome. And so now it takes us to like where you eventually find like our little ecosystem, et cetera. But did it again start in this kind of mysterious way this time, or?
Again, I couldn't pinpoint. There's no way I could pinpoint when it started. I was just chugging along and it got really bad in August. My son was home from school, and like many young people, he keeps hours that are really hard on a middle-aged insomniac. And so came to a head in August of this year. I don't remember what started it or triggered it. All I know is that in early July in Myrtle Beach, I had an awareness that I had not been sleeping well at home.
Oh, yeah, right.
I don't even remember thinking about it at home. It wasn't until I was sleeping well that I was like, ugh. And then once I was conscious, and this is the brain game, right? Once I was conscious of problem sleeping, it became this like self-perpetuating anxious obsession. Oh no, when I go home, I'm not going to sleep again. And it's self-fulfilling.
Exactly. Yeah, totally here. So at this point, does it get to the level of I'm dying with insomnia again, or not quite?
Well, it didn't go on as long. That 2018, 2019 was probably about 6 months of feeling pretty bad. This was shorter, but almost more intense, almost like a progressive disease, right?
You get it in remission, that comes back with a vengeance.
And so it was a shorter, more compact time frame, but it was intense. And so that fear of, oh my God, is this going to be another six? Like, I can't afford 6 months of this. It's that kind of mental spin out that's all projection about all the things I won't be able to handle if this happens. And then, by August, it was, which is when I found you guys, it was intense. I had the broken brain narrative again. I had the, damn it, I thought I was done with this. I had this kind of, it's almost, I call it the mean girl voice in my head. So when I learned from you the concept of deploying kindness, that's really helped to quiet that. But it's this kind of blame or, dang it, Gina, here you are again. How'd you end up here again? And though it was something I was doing on purpose. And so that whole kind of ball of fear and anxiety, not even so much about, oh no, I slept crappy last night. But for me, it's very anticipatory. So it's like, what's it going to be like tonight? And then I start to fear going to bed. And then I do that spin out of like, how long is this going to go on? Am I ever going to sleep again? Is this just going to be the rest of my life? And so again, started trying things.
Yeah, totally here. And we know that's a tricky thing. We try things, it doesn't work. We get more scared. We try new things, et cetera. But somehow during this time, you came across, what did you come across first, actually? Was it the app, the YouTube channel, or do you know?
It was the YouTube channel. So I was at this point where I felt like I could barely function. And I was sitting at my dining room table doing jigsaw puzzles, which I never do jigsaw puzzles unless I can't sleep. Can't sleep, can't read, can't feel like I can't think. And so I have to do something. And all my laundry's folded. So I'm sitting at my dining room table all day, pretty much doing jigsaw puzzles and weeping on and off and feeling terribly sorry for myself and listening to or watching things on YouTube, listening to music, podcasts, just this stream of noise all day. And so the internet, YouTube, knew that I was insomniac because I've been Googling stuff. And so it starts feeding me things. And so sometimes the algorithms really work. Sometimes they don't, but sometimes they really do. And so in my professional field, I'm a debunker of things people say, I before E except after C. And I'm like, actually, that's not really true. So I write about and teach about things that debunk commonly held but false beliefs about language. And so the internet feeds me some of your videos from the series of debunking sleep myth, insomnia myth. And I watched one or two, kind of half watching, half listening. And I couldn't tell you what it was that caught my ear. But that started a process for me that was so critical, where my rational brain could get in the way of this kind of mental spin out and the anxiety. And I couldn't tell you now what myth was debunked, what specific thing I learned first. I could tell you lots of things that I learned, but I realized it really appealed to the debunker in me. It really appealed to the researcher and the epistemologist. How do you know that, though? There's all these things that we think we know that we really don't. We're just taking it on someone else's word or something we watched sometime. And so that day started a process for me of realizing that I had a lot to learn about sleep and insomnia.
Yeah.
I already knew that conventional wisdom had failed me. Back in 2019, I had gone to my allopathic nurse practitioner and said, help, I can't sleep. And I really don't want sleeping pills. I really want to get to the root. Like, is there something physical going on? She had two nursing students in the room with me, and she left the room for a minute. And while she was out of the room, these two happened to be male nursing students sat there and discussed me as though I didn't exist. And they talked about putting me on Seroquel, which is a tranquilizer and really serious drug. And so I already had a sense that, like, conventional wisdom and traditional approaches weren't it for me for insomnia. So I was either going to be sleepless for the rest of my life, or I was going to approach it differently and learn things for myself.
Yeah. You described it so well. I can picture you like sitting there doing the jigsaw puzzle, the YouTube stream, and then hearing something that, oh, this is catching my attention and leads to down a new path. And did you spend some time learning from the YouTube channel, or did you quite quickly after that sign up for the app?
No, I didn't know about the app from the YouTube channel. I actually binged that series on debunking.
Oh, the Herd Online. Yeah, the debunking. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. That's it. Herd Online. And realized that I had some false information in my brain for sure. Some of the really common stuff that you address, but that kind of unlocked the capacity for me to notice my own myth. Don't know where I got them. I had some really weird one.
Do you remember some of them?
Yeah, I do. This one that I remember is I remember being up the usual 3, 4 a.m. and my son's bedroom is across the hall from mine. He's away at college. But I remember thinking, oh, his blinds are open, so the light's going to come in the morning and it's going to wake me up. And in that moment, I realized that I had heard, read something somewhere, couldn't say when, this idea, and it sounds so ridiculous, and I just want to say, do you actually have a PhD? And so I feel really silly saying this silly thing, but I did believe it, that from the time you're born, you have basically like a pre-programmed certain number of wake-ups. And every time you see a light in the middle of the night or you wake up in the middle of the night, you waste one of those wake-ups, right? And so the notion of you're inching ever closer to death, right? That's really this. I mean, it sounds so silly for me to say it right now, but in the throes of it, it's this very scary. I'm going to die from this. I'm going to ruin my brain. Like, my brain is my asset. I'm going to ruin the thing that I need, that I use to make a living. And I'm going to ruin this. That's the really scary narrative. But going through your Herd Online and debunking some of these things, oh, most of us aren't really sleeping like 8 solid hours. Oh, my sleep probably isn't that much worse now than it is when I feel okay. It's my obsession with it that is problematic here. So that really unlocked something. And I didn't find the app until I was actually ready to pay somebody like $1,600 for a month of private coaching, which I'm fortunate that I could even consider that, because I think a lot of people can't even consider that. But even it's a stretch for me. I got a kid in college, like I've said, and single parent. It's a stretch. It's a lot of money, but I had to do something. And then I think it was somewhere on Facebook, and I was checking this person out, and somebody in the comments on her page mentioned the bedtime app. And I went, huh, what's that? And I went and signed up.
Yeah. Look. How interesting. Well, and now, so you finally sign up. Now, as you start exploring the app and texting back and forth with us coaches there, initially, you were frustrated because you felt you weren't really getting it, right?
Yeah, I was. And I was so irritable. I was just in such an irritable frame of mind and so impatient with everything. And I wanted something right now. And so this notion that I had to let it come to me. I'm a quick study, right? Like, I've always been top of the class. And so with a lot of my learning, I can accelerate the process. I can study harder. I can read more. especially when I'm really motivated or engaged with something. This isn't like that. There is no top of the class here, and there is no cramming. You can't accelerate this process. That was difficult for me because I had a sense from the YouTube channel that I really had a lot to learn. The reason that the app appealed to me, I know I could have learned everything on the app that I learned on the app on the YouTube channel. I know that. But it was a time thing for me. I had spent like 3 days binging, and I can't really do that all the time. And I like the text-based approach in the app. I like to be able to read things. I like to be able to go back and reread them because I get a kind of a different mindset. So yeah, initially I was really frustrated, and I put my poor first coach through the paces. Like, gave him a hard time. He told me to live my values. And I think I said, what the hell does that even mean? I couldn't. It sounded like psychobabble to me, and I couldn't wrap my brain around it. And I think it was a few weeks later when I had been handed off to you, and I had again like this epiphany, this moment of, oh, that's what that means. So if I haven't slept well and I'm super anxious and super irritable, I can cancel my clients and sit at my dining room table and do jigsaw puzzles and eat junk food and weep. Or if I haven't slept well, I can get up in the morning, go for a 20-minute walk, notice things in my backyard, right? Eat it, make myself a nice breakfast, meet with my clients, get a kick out of them. That's living my values. It's a concept I couldn't even understand at the beginning of it.
Yeah. Wow, which segues so nicely with what you said about we can't hurry the process. It was like when you first hear it, it's like, well, it doesn't mean anything. But after some, it kind of sinks in, it simmers around our brain, and then it connects with, aha, this is what it means. Then it leads somewhere.
Yeah, I can hear things, and part of it's an intellectual process, but it's really very much an emotional process. Which is, again, as like an intellectual person, it's something that I'm resistant to.
What do you mean I got to feel things?
And so I remember that living your values was one thing that took me a minute. But then once I got it, it was like, oh, even if I haven't slept well, I still have a choice about how I spend my day. And even if I don't have much of a choice about how I spend my day, I have a choice about the mindset that I take to the day. So it seems very basic. But it's not head learning. Like it's not a concept that you study for a test and then you spit it back out. It's just this hard learning, right? It's this other space. It's almost very somatic, right? It's when you're learning a new workout or something physical, or you're taking ballroom dance lessons and you're learning something new and you go through all these motions. But it's not in going through the motions. It's just being present. And then it clicks at some point because you've been there practicing. The other thing that really, when I first heard it, I was like, what is deploy kindness? Because like many anxious types, I have the mean girl voice in my head that either tells me at the end of a day, I haven't done enough or whatever. I mean, it's like an eighth grade snotty girl. And in my case, and the thing that made deploy kindness come alive for me, because I definitely have that voice of it's 3 a.m. and it's dang it, Gina, you're up. Here we go again. And I don't know if you said it or I saw it somewhere, but this notion, and again, it's so simple. But this notion came into my head of, I have great friends. I mean, great lifelong. I'm still close to my best friend from kindergarten, 50 years. And what came home to me is, if your friend were struggling with sleep, would you say that to her? If your friend were talking to you at 3 a.m. and said, oh, I can't sleep again, would you say, dang it, Lorene?
What's wrong with you?
Moron. Yeah. What's wrong with you? And of course, I would never talk to a loved one in that way. And so learning to be less harried in the process, learning to let go of that, come on, just tell me what the secret is, had a chilling out effect on my entire personality, not just the sleep. But I mean, I can see the benefits of changing my thinking, changing my mindset. It's across my life.
Oh, yeah. I want to ask you a bit more about that in a second, but staying for now a little bit on this process, you had these insights, sort of like sinking in this emotional learning, almost like the somatic learning has started to happen. And we talked about it in the context of self-kindness and of living our values. And if I remember, you were not actually on the app that long, which in my mind translates to you started seeing things change fairly early.
Absolutely. I started just before Labor Day because my trial period ran into the Labor Day weekend, I think. So end of August, beginning of September is when I started. And by mid-September, I was making plans with people that I would never have been able to make prior to working with the app. It was almost like a little floodgate. Like I feel like I was resistant and irritable and impatient for about 2 weeks. I was only on it for a month. So, like I said, I couldn't pinpoint it, but it's almost like there was a let go or a floodgate opening or just, but it wasn't because of anything I did, except what I did is show up. It showed up. I did the work in the app. I read, I communicated, I thought about stuff, I wrote, like I did that. And that works well for me, reading and writing. That's my bag, right? So I wasn't there for a long time. I was prepared. I would have happily spent more time and money in the app if I had seen a need to do so.
Yeah. Yeah, no. I'm super glad this happened, of course. And I want to ask you, I'm sure listeners will be curious about this. Sleep-wise, you saw things getting easier, I'm guessing.
Yeah, I started to be able to sleep in again, meaning like I could sleep till 7 instead of being awake at 3. And that was that, whether I stayed in bed or not. I started to be able to just stay in bed. That was a permission that I think the sleep coach school gave me, was I didn't have to do this. This is another one of these things that you've heard online, right? If you haven't fallen asleep in 15 minutes, get up and go do something. Like my house was spotless because I can't get up and read in the night when I'm not sleeping. I can't, like my brain's not for it. So I would do physical stuff, clean and put stuff away and reorganize closets. And so I think that was the first step for me, was permission to just stay in bed, and also permission to stay in bed and do whatever the heck I wanted. Or you can't look at your phone, or you can't turn on a light, or because what soothes me is playing games on my phone or watching California history series on YouTube, or like looking at my phone is often what I'll do when I can't sleep. And so just having the permission to do that was a big deal, and not having the voice in my head being like, you're making it worse. You're just making more sleepless nights ahead for you because you're looking at your phone. No, so that like once that kind of scolding was removed, I think that's when I just was able to naturally feel better about sleeping.
Absolutely. So nice to hear this. And I really think just two more questions for you, which is one is this one, if you could travel back in time to maybe let's say 2018, 2019, there when things were really difficult, and tell you something, what would you tell yourself?
Wow. The first thing that comes to mind is this won't last forever, which I think is still a really important message. If I do have a couple of nights where I don't feel my sleep was the experience I wanted, that ability to know you're not going to die from this isn't terminal or even chronic. It's just a couple of nights. So I think that's probably the first thing I would tell myself, because I didn't know. That was my big fear at the time, was like, is this the rest of my life? I'm not even 50. Is this what my life is going to be like? I think the other thing I would say is, oh, hey, get this app.
Wonderful. Yeah. I'm sure those would have been helpful, but you found your way eventually, which is wonderful. And now also, you touched upon this already, but this is a really nice question. And it is this journey through this sleep struggle. How have you found it beneficial in other areas of life?
It definitely has. For me, insomnia and anxiety they're two sides of the same coin. And so being able to let go, relearn, retrain about sleep and insomnia has also meant for me relearning and retraining about anxiety. And so it's not that I never feel anxious. I certainly do. It's physiological. There are moments when I just have to say to the person I'm with, you know what, let me catch my breath for a minute and then we'll come back to this, because I can feel that mounting. That's a good example, actually, of me deploying kindness, of me and my anxious responses to whatever, the same way that I would for a friend. If I had a sense that a friend was anxious in a situation, I would probably say, just take a minute and catch your breath and go outside. But also I find that, I mean, the most concrete example I can give you is people first want to become Facebook friends with me. I will say, that's fine, but I just want to warn you that I bitch a lot. Like, I complain. Can I say that? I complain about stuff. I've been on hold with customer service for an hour and they still haven't solved my problem. It's like I process everything in writing, right? And so it's not everything I do. I'm funny and I post great food pictures. But what I notice now, this really concrete thing, is that like I'll go and I'll write this little rant and then I'm done with it and I don't post it. It's a really small shift, but it's this deliberate choice of caring for my mindset the same way that I care for myself physically or brush my teeth. And it's something that other people have noticed and commented on. When I saw my son over his fall break and I hadn't seen him for 2 months, and he was like, what is different about you? And I could pinpoint it. And so there are a lot of deliberate choices that come along with that. Deciding to go for a walk instead of deciding to watch another episode of something.
Yeah.
But sometimes I just watch another episode of something too.
Yeah, exactly. It's again, self-kindness, giving yourself freedom, do whatever you want.
Right, exactly. Wonderful. Yeah.
Wow. This was super nice to hear, Gina. You've shared so many things that I think plenty of people in the audience will resonate with and will be helpful to them. So I just want to say thanks so much for being here and sharing.
Sure. My pleasure. Thanks for having me. And like to anybody who's listening, hang in there, because it does not last forever. It really doesn't last forever. So
perfect words to end on. So we'll end there and be in touch. Yeah.
Thanks so much.
That was all for today. I hope you found this episode really eye-opening. And if you're looking for something more tangible, then head over to our website, thesleepcoachschool.com, and you'll find several coaching options where our teachings can be contextualized for you personally. If you decide to join, we look forward to seeing you on the other side.